If I'd been out till 2:45, would you lock the door? Will you still need me? Will you still feed me when I'm 64?
Good afternoon. This is Dr. Rob Stahl with What Should You Expect at Your Age? The answer to that question is a lot, and my listeners, especially the older adults and caregivers out there, shouldn't settle for less. Memory problems and Alzheimer's disease. What can be done about them? And I have Leilani Pelletier, the Program Director of the Alzheimer's Association of Western New York, as my guest today. Welcome.
Thanks, Dr. Stahl. It's a pleasure to be here.
I wanted to start by reading a short selection from a book, a wonderful book called The 36-Hour Day. And this was written by Nancy Mace and Dr. Peter Ravens many years ago. I think it came out in the 1980s.
And we do have this book available for loan at our office, if anyone would like to borrow it.
It's for loan. You can get it on the internet through Amazon.com and other online resources. You can get it at any bookstore, I think, any local library. And it's a fantastic resource. You can get used versions for a couple of dollars. And I'd highly recommend this book. But let me read something that really impressed me during my medical training, my geriatric training. And this is a story of Mary talking about herself. For 2 or 3 years, Mary had known that her memory was slipping. First, she had trouble remembering the names of her friends' children. And 1 year, she completely forgot the strawberry preserves she had put up. She compensated by writing things down. After all, she told herself, she was getting older. But then she would find herself groping for a word she had always known, and she worried that she was getting senile. Recently, when she was talking with a group of friends, Mary would realize that she had forgotten more than just an occasional name. She lost the thread of the conversation altogether. She compensated for this, too. She always made an appropriate answer, even if she secretly felt confused. No one noticed, except perhaps her daughter-in-law, who said to her best friend, "I think Mother is slipping." It worried Mary, sometimes depressed her, but she always denied that anything was wrong. There was no one to whom she could say, "I am losing my mind. It is slipping away as I watch." Besides, she did not want to think about it, didn't want to think about getting old, and most important, she didn't want to be treated as if she were demented. She was still enjoying life and able to manage. What do you think about that, Leilani?
I think it really represents the fear that people have when they find that their ability to think becomes muddled in any way, shape, or form. If you ask anyone, would you rather have a healthy body or a healthy mind? Many people want to be sure, and they say, I want to keep my mind. I want to be able to express myself and make my own decisions.
And recognize their friends and their children
sure.
and loved ones.
We are our memories. We say that to each other all the time. Think about all the importance we place on our memories. And when we feel those start to go or to change, many times we start to keep to ourselves. And the people that built this country, those that are at most risk for Alzheimer's disease now, are a very strong and independent generation.
I agree. And if we have a caller, we can take it.
You do have one caller, and I'm going to take care of another. Go right ahead.
Okay. Hello?
Yes.
Yes.
I know that you can have lapses of memory due to many things, Alzheimer's, Parkinson's, etc. When a person is not willing to recognize the fact they're in a stage of this kind, they become very angry and upset because they're being accused of being forgetful. I never know quite how to handle it. Do you help them gently to think through and help them to remember and try to be patient, or just plain tell them what the thing is and that they know about it?
Well, this is a very common scenario, and I'll let Leilani answer that for you. I'm sure she sees it all the time.
Every day. Your call really speaks to the heart of some of the difficulties when someone is having memory loss and someone caring like you wanting to help them. Really, if someone does have an illness that is causing dementia, and dementia is the symptom of a disease process, like you said, it can come from many different things. Really, gentleness and understanding is the first part and does need to happen. Many times you're not going to be able to convince them that they've forgotten. Many times they know something's wrong. That's where the anger comes from, that anger, that frustration. You see, there's probably a feeling there that something is off, although they probably cannot articulate it. So instead of dealing with the fact behind what the person is telling you, deal with their emotion. For example, if they're angry because you're telling them that they've forgotten and they're insisting that they don't, don't even deal with the forgetting issue. Say, you know what, you seem really upset. I love you. Let's talk about it. Let's talk about it. And ask more open-ended emotional questions rather than fact-based, and get them to feel like you're really, really listening to them. and really listen for a little while, because ultimately that emotion will come forward. So trying to convince them, as you know, it doesn't work well for you, does it?
No, not well.
No.
And the other problem that I have is with another person is they ask about people who have long passed away.
Yeah. Yeah.
And you don't know if you should deal with it like you're giving them fresh information, because when you say, oh, that person has passed away like 10 years ago, and they seem so shocked and astounded, I don't know if I should play along with what they're thinking.
It won't hurt them. It won't hurt a person to use what's called a validation theory, which is just to go along. You don't have to say that they've gone if you expect that there'll be a shocked or an upset reaction. What you can say is, if they say, I miss Joe, you know, tell me about, where's Joe? I miss Joe. Or where's Mom? One of the things that you can say to them is, I haven't seen Mom or Joe. I miss them. Boy, she, you know, her apple pies, I miss those. You know, you can talk about something about the person without having to say they're gone or they're here. And many people find it difficult to do what they consider to be lying.
Yeah.
They don't want to mislead them or make the problem worse. Actually, what you're doing is just opening them up to share what they're feeling.
I'm always afraid that if I do lie to cover it up, that they may be more with it than I'm able to judge.
Well,
they'll think I'm crazy.
Yeah, well, that's why you ask the open-ended question,
right?
Because you're not saying one thing or another. You're opening up, because sometimes it does happen. Sometimes they say, what do you mean he's not here? He died 3 years ago. That does happen. You're absolutely right. So leaving it open like that, just to say, I miss Joe. It's been a long time since I've seen him, too. What do you miss the most about him?
And I remember my grandmother had several strokes, and it affected her ability to think and remember people, including all of us. And we did just the wrong thing. I was still in grade school, and my parents wouldn't take us in, and we'd say, hi, Grandma, how are you? It's Rob. It's your daughter. Don't you recognize us? And that was, you know, just the wrong thing to do, because she couldn't recognize us, and it only added stress and anxiety when she was trying to grasp for something that she wasn't able to.
It's not always consistent what they seem to remember and what they don't. Do you find that?
Right.
Okay.
And with dealing with myself, when I think I'm really, really losing it, I've decided to analyze it in this way. If I think I'm losing it, then I'm aware of it, and I probably am not losing it.
Well, you should come here and do the show with us, because you've really found a way to, actually, one of the doctors that we work with frequently says, you know, most people who are concerned that they have a memory problem or a thought problem probably don't. Many times, in the presence of Alzheimer's disease, you lack or you have a diminished insight into what's happening to you. Again, that's where that anger and that emotion comes
right
from. So the fact that you're recognizing it as a problem actually, and it might not feel like this, but puts you in control. You have the ability to think through it. So I would, you do have to take every minute and every moment at a time, and not try not to fix on exactly what her ability level is, because it will fluctuate. Actually, and it's not that they're doing it on purpose, although it can seem that way. It's really just, this is not black and white, no memory and memory.
And the word dementia, so people understand, dementia comes from the Greek roots, and D is away from, and mentia is like mental, away from the mind. A person is getting away from their mind abilities, their ability to think in a variety of different ways. And dementia is the umbrella word that covers all different problems that affect thinking. Alzheimer's disease is one type of dementia. I mentioned my grandmother's strokes. Multiple small strokes can also look like, very much like Alzheimer's in certain ways, and that's another form of dementia. Rough numbers, people with dementia, 50% have Alzheimer's, 25% have what's called multiple infarct dementia, stroke-related dementia, and then 25% are other causes.
Right.
Okay, thanks.
Thank you for your help.
You're welcome. I hope that helped.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Yes?
Dr. Stahl.
Yes.
My husband died of Alzheimer's 3 years ago.
Okay.
But you took care of him before he went into a nursing home.
Okay.
And I wanted to tell you how much we appreciated your care. Whenever I called your office, you were always available to speak with me, and you were so kind to both of us, and I wanted to thank you.
Well, thank you so much. You might tell people I didn't ask you to call.
No.
And
I think of you often.
Well,
and I just want you to know.
Well, you know, I think the important part, the role that a doctor can play in the whole process, the main thing is just being there. It's similar to what a doctor needs to do for cancer patients. Cancer patients tend to get isolated because of their illness. People with dementia, Alzheimer's disease, tend to also get isolated, and their families get isolated because of the illness. And the doctor, by just being there, by saying that, feel free to call me if there are any problems that develop, asking the caregiver, the spouse, if they're having any problems dealing with it, is as important, if not more important, than specific things for the patient themselves. Often there aren't many specific things to do for the patient themselves, and that working with the caregiver is the best thing that can be done for both the patient and the caregivers.
I just wanted to know. I appreciate it.
Well, thank you.
Thank you. Okay, bye.
Okay, good talking to you again.
Hello, it's Dr. Stahl.
Hello, Dr. Stahl. I'm 70 years old in a few months, and I'm taking Lipitor.
Wait, you're too young to call this program, I think.
I wish I were. I wish I were. I'm not so sure about the world situation today.
We actually want people your age and even a little bit younger, so we can make sure you're doing all the right things to be the best you can as you do get additional years on.
Yeah.
So go ahead. I'm sorry.
Oh, that's all right. I take Lipitor, and sometimes I have trouble remembering a word or two, you know, and I read that one of the side effects of Lipitor is memory loss. Would you address that?
I'm glad you called about this, because while I don't know what's causing the memory difficulty, and we can even ask a couple quick questions to help you pinpoint a little bit more accurately what's happening, but you may want to just check with your pharmacist, because I think that might be one of the side effects of Lipitor. Do read the insert. I could be wrong, but if I'm not mistaken, I would like you to take a look at that, because...
I'm not sure if that's where I saw that, I did see it someplace.
Did the little change you noticed in your memory coincide with when you started taking the medication?
No, I've been on it for a while. Not a terribly long time, but I'd say probably a couple of years, maybe.
Okay. So, would you mind just sharing with me just a thing or two about what's happening? You're having difficulty with names where you didn't used to?
Yes. Not to a big extent, but yes, I am. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, or you can't think of the word or...
yeah. That tip of your tongue thing?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Well, what I will tell you, and what we do know, is that as we get older... it does take a little longer sometimes for us to retrieve things.
Mm-hmm.
That definitely does not mean that, it's a classic early Alzheimer's signs. It does take a little longer for us to retrieve information and to process information as we get older.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of the way that you try to determine if there really is a problem is it getting in your way? Is it bad enough that it's bothering you? And then my recommendation is go to your doctor for a nice, thorough checkup. And say, you know, I'm having just a little trouble with my memory, and talk about getting things like your thyroid level taken, making sure that overall there isn't something else, and Dr. Stahl can address this as well, but you just want to rule out anything physical, and you also want to look at things like depression and other things that can cause a little bit of memory loss.
Because, like, I was at a group discussion thing, and this one woman in the group, I couldn't think of her name. I knew it at the beginning of our meeting, and then what's her name?
Let me also ask you, you started taking this medication, and that's when you noticed you had memory problems?
No,
what was it again?
I think I've been on it for maybe a couple of years.
Okay.
Hard to remember. I can't remember.
Okay. Well, you know, then if you've been on medications for quite a while and it didn't cause a problem initially, then it's unlikely that that medication is causing the problem now. It's more likely something else is going on.
Mm-hmm.
But that does not mean that Alzheimer's is setting in. Even gradual changes, like Leilani mentioned, you need to get your thyroid function checked.
That's a very good idea.
Low thyroid or even high thyroid is very common in older people and can cause thinking problems.
Well, I'll do that. Mm-hmm. Well, thank you very much.
Okay, you're welcome.
Yes, thank you.
Then I think we have a caller.
Yes.
Hello, it's Dr.
Stahl. Yes, Dr. Stahl.
Yes.
I've been listening to you, and I wonder, is there a test to determine the difference between dementia and Alzheimer's?
Well, that's an excellent question, and as we've been hinting at, there are certainly things to be done to evaluate a patient, to exclude problems that might be making memory problems worse or might be causing the memory problems themselves. The most important of which that a doctor might use in the office is called a mini mental state exam, which is a general questionnaire that asks questions like, what's today's date, where are you now, what's the state, county, town that we're in right now. It asks the person to subtract 7 from 100 and keep subtracting from what they get left to test mathematical ability to spell the word world backwards, to write a sentence to see if they're able, if they have language function, where they're able to formulate a sentence and have the motor ability to write out a sentence. They're asked to copy a design. And mostly the thing that shows up as abnormal in early dementia is asking someone to remember 3 objects. Usually I use ball, pen, and street, and I ask the person to repeat that to me, and in 5 minutes I ask them again. And sometimes a person has no clue, and it's very clear they have no clue what 3 things I asked them to remember earlier on.
Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Unfortunately, we're coming to the close of the hour. I wish we could go on for another couple of hours because there's so much to cover. But I do want to mention there are several excellent resources besides what we had talked about. The book, The 36-Hour Day by Nancy Mace, M-A-C-E, and Dr. Peter Ravens, R-A-B-I-N-S, Elder Rage, E-L-D-E-R, Rage, R-A-G-E, by Jacqueline Marcel, is a wonderful book that outlines what Jacqueline went through in caring for her father. I thank again Leilani for being here, and I think we're going to need to have you come back and talk some more. It's Dr. Rob Stahl with What Should You Expect at Your Age?
Many years from now, will you still be sending me Valentine's birthday greetings, bottle of wine?